Motorcycle Man.
Hey, hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Motorcycle Man Podcast. This is episode 386, and I'm here in the V-Twin Cafe, and joining me today is Amsoil Adam. That's right, he's with Amsoil Oils and Lubricants, and he's also here to tell us about extreme bikes and love jugs. But before we get into that, the Motorcycle Man Podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at incredible value. So to learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. And Wild Ass Seats. You can improve your comfort and ability to stay in a saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to Wild-Ass.com and get your cushion today from the real Craig Johnson. And make sure you tell them that the Motorcycle Man Podcast sent you on over. And a Stuck Up Sticker Company. That's where we get our stickers from. Everybody wants stickers. You need stickers. Your fans want stickers. So get them from the Stuck Up Sticker Company. They focus on cost, turnaround time, and quality. Those are the details they care about. And they know you don't have a lot of money to spend on that kind of stuff. So the Stuck Up Sticker Company. Let the sticker Jesus take care of your sticker needs. And as always, Tobacco Motorwear for the best in casual riding gear for men and women. There's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Now visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMEN. Everyone here at the podcast is wearing tobacco riding jeans and the California riding shirt, and I can't tell you how wonderful this stuff is, right? I got the Roper gloves, the waistline vest, all this stuff is fantastic. And I won't ride without them. Now, your safety is worth it. So get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. All right, time for that interview with Adam. Joining me today here in the V-Twin Cafe, all the way from, where are you?
I'm in Murphy, North Carolina.
Oh, so you're not too far from me. Okay, great. Amsoil Adam, joining us to talk about Amsoil Oil. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well.
How's everything?
Everything's been going pretty good.
Yeah, keeping busy?
Yeah, I think so. We just got back from Bike Week, so obviously there's some craziness that goes along with getting ready for big events and, sure, and getting them done and getting back home. And now we've got a few days of downtime before we start gearing up for the next one.
All right. So those of you out there who don't know who Adam is, Adam, why don't you tell us who you are, your motorcycle self, and what you do?
All right. So like you said, I kind of donned the nickname Amsoil Adam over the years because my business takes us around the country to all the different motorcycle rallies. We sell Amsoil synthetic lubricants as well as a few other products like Love Jugs and Banshee batteries. But they just kind of got to know me as the Amsoil guy. My name's Adam. So before you know it, it just became Amsoil Adam. And then when we started the YouTube channel, that just kind of was stuck with it. And that's kind of just how I'm known now.
All right. Well, cool. Do you ride? I assume you do.
I do, of course.
What do you got?
Well, I've got quite a list. My primary bike is my Road King. It's a 2004 Road King.
Okay.
But I've done a lot of custom work to it. We take it to all the rallies. It actually is part of our display, so it'll sit there and run all day long while we're working, proving that the products that we sell are doing their job. I've also got a 95 BMW R1100. I've got an old Ironhead Sportster.
Wow.
I've got a CB1000, two GSX R750s, a Hayabusa, a 1950 Famous James, British bike.
Wow.
I'm forgetting a bunch, too. But, you know, if you count four-wheelers, dirt bikes, street bikes, I think I've got, like, 24 or something like that. I don't remember.
Oh, man. There's a lot of people out there hating you right now.
Yeah, motorcycles are my life. Plain
that is amazing. Really? Do you have a favorite? I mean, I guess it's your everyday bike, right?
Yeah, probably my Road King is my favorite.
Yeah. Wow.
It didn't used to be, but it is now.
Yeah, it is now because it's running all the time. Yeah, because I remember when I met you up in Sturgis, I do recall your bike just sitting there running all day long, nonstop. That is amazing. Now, that bike, I know we're getting way off topic, but that's okay. That's got the Twin Cam 88 in it, correct?
Correct.
All right. Did you do the cam chain tensioners or whatever?
Yeah, I switched it to gear drive back in 19.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, put a mild cam in it, switched it to gear drive, and threw it back together. Other than that, it's bone stock.
How's the gear drive? You like that?
So far, I like it. I've got no complaints about it, and at least I know I never have to worry about those shoes wearing out again on those cam chain followers.
Happened to me. So tell us about Amsoil, the company, and your products.
Okay, so one thing I like to lead with is that I do not work for Amsoil. I own my own company, Extreme Bikes, but I am an authorized Amsoil dealer, so I'm considered a direct jobber. I move quite a bit of product through Amsoil. In return, I get paid commissions from Amsoil to do so. So I'm a sales rep, but I'm my own business.
Gotcha.
The one thing I really love about Amsoil is they make a top quality product.
Okay.
But to me, they're more than a product. Over the years of working with them, I've got to know so many people within the corporation. And I've never met anybody there that wasn't super pleasant, that wasn't super happy to have their job. They're really a company of great people. And that means a lot to me as well.
Sure.
I can call up there right now and ask for, you know, Alan Amatuzio and speak to him directly if I wanted to. He's the president and CEO of the company. His father is the one who invented the product and created the company, you know. So they're big enough to be powerful, small enough to still be personal.
Right.
And just everything they do with excellence. So.
Wow. All right. And as far as it goes for the products themselves, the company and the products themselves, how many products do you guys produce, does Amsoil produce, that you use?
Oh, wow. I'd have to sit and count them. But, I mean, just in my Harley alone, there's four different products that I'm using between the oil filter, the transmission fluid, the primary fluid, and the engine oil.
Okay.
Amsoil is probably more dedicated than any other company I've ever seen to building application-specific lubricants. So rather than just having, okay, here's a 1040, use it in whatever you want, they'll say, all right, what do metric bikes that require a 1040 need? And what do they need the most? So then they'll go buy a Suzuki and a Honda and a Kawasaki, and they'll put them all to the test, and they'll formulate a lubricant that works best in that application.
Oh, wow.
All right. But then maybe, you know, a UTV, like a Kawasaki Mule, also calls for a 1040. Well, maybe it doesn't need the same stuff that the motorcycle 1040 is. So they actually create a line specifically for ATV, UTV that targets exactly what that needs. So you're not just buying a generic oil that's a one-size-fits-all.
Wow. Yeah, because I did notice that on the website, it has you pick what type of vehicle you're purchasing for. And you know, in my mind, I go like, well, what difference does it make? Oil is oil, right?
But it's not. That's what people that don't know anything about oil think.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is why you're here. So anyway, you know, in what way does Amsoil differ from other synthetic oils and other specialized oils that are out there?
Well, keep in mind, Amsoil is the company who brought synthetic oil to the market. They have more experience than any other company in the world when it comes to dealing with synthetics. So AJ Amatuzio, the founder of the company, when he retired from the military, he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force. They were using synthetics in the military many, many years ago, but it wasn't available for the consumer market. And he's the one that pioneered that whole thing and said, why can't we bring this to the consumer market? It's better. We know it's better. It outperforms any conventional on the market. And it was all about marketing and trying to get it to people. And he pioneered that path and started the company in, in the late 60s. And then other companies started following. So that's why it's called First in Synthetics. It's not that they invented a synthetic oil, because they didn't. But they're the people who pioneered bringing it to a consumer market and engineered it for everyday use. And then with that strive for excellence, tried to make it as absolute best as they possibly could, regardless of what other people were making.
Oh, okay. Well, how is Amsoil synthetics better for motorcycles than others that are out there?
Okay. Well, when you say others, I assume you mean other synthetics.
Other synthetics,
mean other oils.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so, and here's a key thing that a lot of people don't understand is that there's a lot of synthetic oils that people are buying for their motorcycles, their cars, their pickup trucks that aren't actually synthetic. And there's a lot of trickery in the market there. Yeah. So I knew you've heard the term full synthetic.
Yeah.
And you'd assume it's a synthetic oil, right?
Yeah.
It's not. According to the law, it can be a synthetic blend, and there is no regulation on how much synthetic or how much non-synthetic is blended in there. So it might be 10% synthetic, but legally they can call it a full synthetic. AMSOIL tried to fight this because it's BS, and we all know it's BS.
Right.
But some of the bigger oil companies had bigger paid lawyers, and they lost the battle in court. So oils are classified in basically five different classes.
Okay.
Class one is a conventional oil. Class two and class threes are synthetic blends or full synthetics, okay. Right? And then you've got class fours, which are 100% synthetics. And then you've got class five, which are also 100% synthetics, but they're at such a higher level that's really only aeronautical. That, I mean, that's the stuff that NASA uses, the military uses, and it is not available to most consumer markets. So AMSOIL is one of maybe three companies in the world that actually offers a class four 100% synthetic oil without all the marketing trickery. I mean, they do have some synthetic blends as well for some applications because that's what works well in some applications. But they don't try to make you believe you're getting something you're not.
Right. And these class fours are available to the general public for use, like in their motorcycles, yeah. Correct? Oh.
Yeah, the motorcycle V-twin oil we put in there is a class 4 100% synthetic oil.
Oh, that does that have a longer lifespan than your other generic synthetic
it does.
Oils?
It's the benefits are endless. So not only do you get longer life out of it, because it doesn't break down as fast as the petroleum-based oils do, but it resists a lot of other things like corrosion. It resists it better. It doesn't burn off as easy. So there's what's called a volatility rate. And lower quality oils will burn off under certain conditions. That's why, like, you have a vehicle that doesn't leak oil, but yet every 4,000 miles you got to add half a quart or something like that, right?
Right, yeah.
So most synthetics are designed to work at a much higher level of performance, and AMSOIL's, you know, like said, pioneered that whole situation there. So it's just a lot better of a product.
Okay. So, well,
did I answer that question properly? I'm not even sure.
You did fine. So now a question, which leads me to another question, is like what I have faced in the past with my bike. I have a 2003 Heritage, so I've got the Twin Cam 88 in there now. What I have noticed in the past is that during the summer months, I need to use a thicker oil, so I end up going conventional all the time. And in the cooler months, I'll go to a synthetic because it's a little thinner, in theory, anyway.
In theory.
Can I bypass that completely with AMSOIL and just use AMSOIL all the time? And not enough? Because I tell you what, when I was out there and I was out in Sturgis and riding around, my bike was running so hot when I was doing Needles Highway. It was running tremendously hot. I had to shut the bike off for a little while, and that's because I did have a conventional in there. Now, would I be missing all of that if I was switched over to AMSOIL all the time?
You know, I can't 100% guarantee you still wouldn't have overheated because there's a lot of factors that could go into that.
Sure.
And what we've seen in our studies is that just simply by switching to AMSOIL, even over a leading synthetic oil like Mobil 1 or Syn 3, we'll see anywhere from a 14 to a 30 degree drop in engine temperature,
which is
significant, right?
Yes.
So keep in mind, an oil basically has three functions, all right? It's got to clean, it's got to lubricate, and it's got to cool. So if it performs better in all three of those functions, it's just going to make the engine last longer. It's going to be more tolerant. But the big thing is heat resistance. So many oils on the market, they're designed to run between this like 180 and 210 degrees. That's the optimal operating temperature of motor oil. And then you've got what you call your temporary zones, which usually go 30 to 40 degrees either way. So if you get an oil up to 240 degrees for a short period of time, you're probably not going to hurt it. Extended periods of time, you may do some damage to the oil itself, right?
Right.
Taking away its ability to protect or clean or cool properly. Most oils on the market, once they hit 270, they're done. 300, it's basically just water in there.
Oh,
AMSOIL has been tested to 568 degrees.
How?
And then drained all the oil out of the bike, sent it to the lab, and it passed every test with flying colors.
Oh, no way.
So it's not that your bike won't get as hot, which it should keep it cooler. But even if you do get to that situation where you overheat,
it's
your oil is
down.
Still going to do its job.
Right, right. So because like with conventional, when you start getting heat, it starts to break down. And then, like you said, now you're running basically water through there.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I did eventually My very last day there, I did stop at your booth up there in Sturgis, up at Black Hills Harley Davidson, and I did the full Amsoil oil change. And that oil is still in the bike right now.
Yeah. You're good for 10,000 miles or 1 year.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because usually I'm like changing my oil when I hit like 3,000.
Yeah. That's a very old school 1972 way of thinking. But yeah, a lot of people do that because they don't realize the potential with a true 100% synthetic oil. Longer life.
See? Wow. Who knew, right? Obviously, I didn't. Now, what does Amsoil do differently than other synthetic oil producers?
Well, basically, they don't build products to just meet the minimum recommendations. And unfortunately, there are a lot of companies out there that do. So if a new recommendation from a manufacturer comes out, and these companies will test their oil, and if it doesn't meet that recommendation, they start to doctor it. They start to change their formula. They change their blend, basically, until it meets that recommendation. And once they hit that goal, they're like, okay, we're done. Let's stop putting money into it, right? Amsoil's never had that philosophy. They've always built the product to be the best product it can be, regardless of whether it exceeds the recommendation or not. Whatever the current science, technology, and additive packages is available to them, they're going to build it to be the best it can. A really good example of this is a few years back, and I know we're getting into cars and not motorcycles, but it's a great story, is that there was a huge issue with what's called LSPI. LSPI means low speed pre-ignition, and this was happening in a lot of these like EcoBoost motors that were direct injection turbocharged gasoline engines. That in the actual definition, LSPI gets a little bit complicated, but it's basically where oil particles were hanging on to the top rings, and in the combustion process, it was burning off or getting hot and causing pre-ignition. Pre-ignition can destroy engines over time, right? So the manufacturers, when I say manufacturers, I mean Ford, Chevy, Dodge, whoever had these engines that were seeing these problems, they said, okay, we have to fix this. So they go to the drawing board, they go to their engineers, they come up with a new oil recommendation that now the oil has to meet this recommendation to be used in these vehicles.
Okay.
So now oil companies, they go scrambling to create new formulas. Well, what Amsoil did, it was kind of funny actually, is they pulled the formula that they already have for that application. They ran it through that new test that didn't exist before, and they passed, like way exceeded the test, because they'd already built the oil so good that it was already fixing the problem before they knew the problem even existed.
Oh.
And they do this with every product they make. We've actually got a product for two strokes, like weed eaters, chainsaws.
Really? Right?
It's called Saber. Yep. And it's a two-stroke oil additive that you mix with your fuel, just like you would anything else.
Right.
But it can be run at 100-1. And everyone goes, well, that's crazy. You need 32-1 or 50-1. And you do with a crappy additive package. But if you engineer it properly, you can run it 100-1. And with 100-1, you get less smoke, you get less plug fouling, and you make more horsepower because you're getting more fuel per power stroke, basically, because you're not diluting it with as much oil. Here's the amazing thing is that product has actually been tested at 300-1 in past.
Wow.
But you can't market it like that because nobody believes it. We have a hard enough time getting people to believe it's 100-1 because the people with the blinders on just go, no, you can't do that. Well, you can. You can go 10,000 miles on a Harley. You can go 25,000 miles on a gasoline car engine. You have been able to since 1972, but people have had the blinders on thinking, oh, I could change my oil every 3,000 miles.
Right. That's just the general thinking that everybody has.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. And they just keep spending more money than they need to because they're using the wrong product.
Oh, see, now do we need to even talk about Amsoil synthetics versus conventional?
There's no comparison.
There's no comparison.
There's nothing that a conventional oil will do that Amsoil will not do better.
Okay. Now, when you guys, I did notice on your website you talk about performance testing. Now, I assume you tested conventional oils in this as well.
Amsoil's testing facility is astonishing. It really is. I've actually physically been there. I've walked through their laboratories, walked through their dyno cells where they've got engines just being tortured for literally months at a time, like never turning off.
Wow.
Everything from weed eater motors to chainsaws, the lawnmower engines, to Harley Davidsons, to LS1 small block Chevys, you know, just wherever they see an application, they test to the fullest. And when they find a failure point, they fix it. So although I can't sit here and tell you every single test that Amsoil has ever done, but there's probably not a test they haven't done.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the testing process. Exactly what is involved with that? They take a quart of Amsoil and put it up against a quart of whoever. Is that how the testing's done, or do you just...
In some cases, I'm sure it is. Right. And keep in mind, I don't work in the lab, so I can't give firsthand knowledge of this, but I do read a lot of the technical data that Amsoil and other oil companies release, because I'm not closed-minded enough to say, oh, because I believe in Amsoil, I ignore everything else. I still like to stay up to date with what other oil companies are doing. And granted, I don't check them all, but I try to keep an honest comparison. And unfortunately, I find a lot of oil companies aren't forthcoming like Amsoil is. Amsoil puts all those test results up there. In fact, you can go to the performance listing area. I think it's a performance test at Amsoil.com or something like that. And there's just so many data sheets of everything and like actual comparisons of cylinder wall scarring and bearing scarring and stuff like that when using other brands. Now, sometimes they're not allowed to tell the name of that other brand because of legal reasons, just to keep from getting sued. So that's why sometimes you'll see where it's this leading brand. Now, some of us know what those brands are, but we're not allowed to talk about them for those legal reasons. But when it comes to oil testing, there's so many different tests that need to be done, even though just one oil.
Yeah.
So like I said earlier, you've got to test it for its corrosion resistance. You've got to test it for its wear scar. You've got to test its volatility rate. You want to test for TBN, which is total base number, which is basically the total viscosity of the oil. There's so many different tests. So one oil may have to undergo 30 different tests and score in each different category. And what's amazing is years ago, they did a test specifically with motorcycle oils. And they took 17 of the most popular motorcycle oils on the market. And they tested them both in the 40 weight and the 50 weight. And they put them through every single one of those individual tests. And in each test comparison, every oil scored a point number, right? And then at the end of everything, they compiled all those numbers. And obviously, the oil with the highest score gets the highest ranking. And out of the 17 oils, at the end of it, there was this bar graph. And if you can imagine, you know, reading from the left to the right, you had the stair step where 17th had the shortest bar, 16th had a slightly taller bar, 15th a little bit more. And this stair stepped up all the way to like number three, right? And forgive me, I can't remember all of the names, but I'm going to throw two out here because they're the ones that are really, really important. The step from number three to number two was considerably more marginal than the rest of them.
All right.
And the number two rated oil was Mobil 1. Motorcycle, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Number one was Amsoil, but the step, the distance between their bar graph and Amsoil's was huge. And I know in this podcast, people aren't going to see my hands when you actually
it's pretty far apart.
but the difference was huge. So, I mean, if you can use your imagination and say that each stair step was a quarter inch taller than the next one on the scoring, when it got to Mobil 1, it was 3/4 inch taller. When it got to Amsoil, it was 4 inches taller. Wow. The difference between number one and number two was huge. It was so much bigger than the difference of all the other oils put together. And just, again, Amsoil doesn't build things to meet minimum recommendations. They build it to be the best it's currently possible to do.
Wow. So that's really, really interesting. The price point is it drives a lot of decision making with motorcycle owners. And they're going to say, okay, well, this oil is this much and this oil is this much. How does that affect Amsoil?
I want to say that it doesn't, but we all know that it does. There are those people that are so budget-minded that they don't always see far enough into the future.
Right.
So there's this term I use called stepping over dollars to pick up nickels, right? Mm. And what I mean by that is literally, if there were dollars laying on the ground, you step over them to pick up a nickel because you're all excited you found a nickel. And that's what happens when people are trying to save a buck or two on a quart of oil. So currently, right now, I'm going to say retail price on the Motorcycle 2050 V-Twin oil is around $16 a quart.
Okay.
The retail on Harley Sin 3 is, what, $15, $15.50? Might even be $16, so they're really not even that negligible. Mobil 1 is probably $13. So let's say at the most, you're going to save $3 a quart. But with Harley Sin 3, you have to change your oil every 5,000 miles or 6 months, whichever comes first. With Amsoil, 10,000 miles or 1 year. So you do the math on it. for an extra $9, you save yourself another $250 on the next oil change, right?
Yeah.
But some people don't look at it like that. They just look at quart costs. Now, when you actually factor in total cost of usage, and then you realize that AMSOIL is reducing the wear in that engine by 80 to 85%. Now, how much longer is that engine going to last?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's expensive? Not oil, engine rebuilds.
Oh, yeah.
Average engine rebuild is between $7,000 and $10,000 now on a Harley.
Yeah.
$3 more per quart of oil, I'll do it any day of the week.
Well, like I said, when I rode from here up to Sturgis and then I rode around Sturgis, I was operating completely on Harley Sin 3. And that day when I was up on Needles Highway and my bike was pinging and knocking like crazy because it was overheating, I didn't have any of those issues. I have not had any of those issues since then. Since I rode back all the way to Milwaukee and then all the way back to here, I have not had those problems, and I was running completely on AMSOIL. So guys have sold me on the product. There's no question about that. We're going to jump away from AMSOIL for a moment, but tell us about Extreme Bikes.
All right, so Extreme Bikes is mine and my wife's business. We started it, well, to get more direct, we bought it actually from another married couple that was having marital issues back in 2007. I'd been a motorcycle mechanic for a number of years, and it was at that point where I wanted to open my own shop. I didn't want to work for anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing the math at opening my own shop and what it cost me the first month, last month, and then setting up accounts with all these parts warehouses like Drag Specialties and back then Tucker Rocky. And just it was going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Doing the math on it to do it right, it was going to cost me about $50,000
wow.
to get my business opened up and running, you know, buying the equipment, everything I needed to open the doors and take my first customer in and be able to sell them products, you know?
Right.
And so I was saving up money, and eventually I accidentally kind of bumped into these people that were having marital issues. They were running a semi-successful shop. Unfortunately, the guy that was running it actually knew nothing about motorcycles. He really wanted a hobby shop to work on his own dirt bikes. And then it turned into this sport bike shop where people were bringing him sport bikes and he's doing tires and oil changes and stuff like that. But he wasn't a technician. So when there was any real diagnosis that needed to be done, he was lost.
Right.
And he wasn't getting bikes out at the rate that he should. But him and his wife were having issues, and they realized that part of the issues was they lived together, they worked together, they never got away from each other. So the business had to go to save their marriage. So, basically, I talked with them, and I was able to buy their business, and I didn't really buy their business. I came in and bought all their assets.
Right.
They closed their business. I already owned a company, but not doing motorcycles, so I just created a subsidiary of my own business. And then we assumed the lease. I bought all the equipment,
right.
And I kept him on for a month to kind of show me the ropes on what was in the shop, because I didn't know what was needing what. He was terrible at keeping paperwork. So there were 30 motorcycles in there for repair, and only he knew what needed to be done to them.
Wow.
So I kept him around for like a month. So we got caught up, yeah. and I taught him a little bit along the way. And then he walked away, and unfortunately their marriage still dissolved. It didn't fix the problem. They thought it was the problem. It wasn't the problem.
Wow.
So anyway, we ran the brick and mortar for many years, and then we decided to start working the rallies just in Daytona, because our shop was in Orlando. I failed to mention that. Orlando, Florida.
Right.
And so we're not that far from Daytona. The gentleman that was bringing AMSOIL into my shop and stocking my shelves.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was just a retailer, basically. I wasn't a dealer. I was just a retailer. I bought wholesale. I sold retail. That was it. It was the extent of it. Well, one day he mentioned that maybe I should think about becoming a dealer because, you know, working on the motorcycles, I was seeing these improvements. I was seeing the bikes that I'd been putting AMSOIL in for years.
Yeah.
Not showing the wear that these guys that were running other unnameable oils that were having oil-related issues, right?
Right.
So I was sold on it. And then he had the opportunity to start working the event up in Daytona Beach for spring and fall. And he asked me if I wanted to come hang out with him and maybe try to get some accounts or whatever. And, you know, whatever. I said, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then before you knew it, we turned into a rally business. And a few years later, I actually closed down the brick and mortar store.
Really?
And focused on just doing rallies. And then we moved out of Florida. It gave me the opportunity to get out of Florida. I hated living in Florida. I never liked it. And I always wanted to live in the mountains. So I moved to the mountains because now I go to where the business is. I don't worry about the business coming to me.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's great. Well, congratulations.
That's really the short, condensed version. There's a whole lot more to it. But yeah, it's a lot of trials and tribulations along the way.
So what do you got? Well, as Extreme Bikes, what is the business model? What do you guys do?
So right now, we are only Motorcycle Rally. I don't do any work here at home. I've got a shop here at the house. And I've got a handful of customers that I will work on occasion if I'm in town. But our schedule is pretty taxing. So, you know, we're gone most of the summer, half of the spring, half of the fall.
Wow.
And so we're only home in the winter, and no one around here wants to ride in the winter because it's cold. So yeah. I don't get much work in the winter either.
No, okay.
So really, I'd say 99% of our business is all from rallies.
Okay.
And at this point, we're only working the 11 rallies a year. And that's where we make our paycheck. And what's nice about it is we get to come back home to North Carolina when we're not working, and it's kind of like being on vacation when we're at home.
No, okay. All right, so we're gonna test your memory now. What 11 rallies are you doing every year?
All right, so we do Daytona twice a year.
Okay, let's do it.
Panama City Beach, well, Thunder Beach in Panama City Beach twice a year.
Okay.
We do Myrtle Beach twice a year, so that's six of them right there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we've also got Laconia, New Hampshire.
Okay.
The Deadwood three-wheeler rally, Deadwood, South Dakota.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Sturgis rally.
Yep.
Then we've got Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then of course, the fall rallies, Daytona, Panama, Myrtle again. And then Galveston is what we finish up with at the end of the year in Texas. Right.
How come you don't do Americade?
We actually used to do Americade. Again, it's one of those places where they want to charge outrageous rates.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah, again, for me to park my rig there is stupid amounts of money. There isn't enough business there for me to justify it. The people that are running Americade, I think it's changed. It used to be a great rally, and I just don't think it's the great rally anymore. I hear a lot of vendors, keep in mind, we're all friends, and we all talk. Not all of us, but we got our groups, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really disappointed with the way the rally has become over the years, especially since COVID has gotten worse.
Yeah, really?
And as a general rule, and I have made exceptions, I don't do any rally where the customer has to pay just to walk through the gate.
Oh.
In the Americade, you don't walk through unless you've got a wristband.
Right, exactly.
So you had to spend money just to get into CME so that I could try to get you to spend money.
Ah, I see. I understand.
And sometimes I put the salty taste in people's mouth, and I love the area. I love riding around Lake George.
Yeah.
We actually did Warrensburg a couple times, and we've done Americade, but it's just... It doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Okay, I get it. What about the, isn't there a rally in Colorado or Arizona? I think there's one, yeah.
There is Arizona Bike Week coming up.
Yeah.
We have done it in the past, and we didn't do well the first time, but the second and third time we actually did fairly decent, and I'd be willing to go back, except that all the other rallies that we did on the way there canceled.
Oh.
So, for us to go from North Carolina all the way out to Arizona to do one event, my fuel bill is now more than what they want for rent.
Oh, jeez.
So back in the days, we would go out there, but there was the show in Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there was the show in Yuma, which was really called the Yuma Prison Run. It wasn't much of a show. It was like on a campground, a little two-day thing. But it was dirt cheap for us to do. They charged us $175 for rent, and they fed us.
Damn.
You know, so if I sold anything, I was in the green, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And so that just kind of made sense. And then after that, we'd go up and do the Laughlin River Run. But then the venue we were at in Laughlin decided they didn't want vendors there anymore. The other venues filled up and didn't want us there. So we just kind of said, all right, we're not going out west anymore. And, of course, now Laughlin has become the Bullhead City River Run, and I guess they're trying to get that going again. I just don't know if it justifies us driving that far to just do those two rallies.
I suppose if there was another rally nearby that was going on, it might be.
No, some people hit, like, Bandera on their way out, and then they'll do the other ones. So if I can make it a loop where there were at least one rally, the profit is covering the fuel bill, then the next rally is covering the employee's bill, and then we get one rally where I can make some money, I would consider doing it.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think it could just be a waste of money to go, even though I want to. I love going to Arizona. I love the whole Cave Creek area, Scottsdale. It's beautiful out there. I'm looking for a good excuse to go out there. It just has to make sense.
Yeah, of course. What's the?
I'd even tempted to just jump on the bike and ride out there for nothing more than YouTube footage. That at least gets me out there, you know. But
wow. Never been.
My schedule doesn't always allow it.
Yeah.
So.
Well. We're from North Carolina out that way. That's a little bit of a haul. You're not going to do
it. It is, but yeah, I mean, it's good seat time, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's good saddle time. What's the next rally we can expect you at?
A little ironic here because we just listed the rallies that I'm working. The next rally you can expect me at is one that I'm not actually working. We got the Leesburg Bike Fest coming up in Florida.
All right.
I will be there, but simply for YouTube purposes.
Yeah.
Again, it's a rally we used to work. It doesn't make sense for us to work it anymore.
All right.
But I go down there just to make the footage. And at the same time, there is the 75 Chrome Shop Big Rig Truck Show that's 10 miles away. So I get two events that I can video and film and make videos on within 10 miles of one another.
Right.
And it's still kind of my old stomping grounds. I mean, growing up in Orlando, I used to go out to the Leesburg Rally. It was always my birthday weekend. So I'd always go out there for my birthday and have a good time.
Yeah.
So we go just for that reason. We get that, and it's right before Panama, so I got to go to Florida anyways.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a little out of my way to go to Leesburg than it is just to go straight to Panama, but we just make it work. So technically, Panama's the next one we work.
Okay.
Well, Thunder Beach. I keep calling it Panama, but it's Thunder Beach.
Thunder Beach.
In Panama City Beach.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Does it make any sense? Well, you haven't done Gettysburg, have you?
I've never done Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I don't have any intention to.
Oh, really? Too small.
Yeah, talking to other vendors, it's a terrible rally.
Oh, is it really?
I know attendees like going there. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it's just, it wouldn't make sense for us.
Okay.
And that's hard to say because it's right after Laconia, if I'm not mistaken. So I could almost hit it on the way home from Laconia.
Yeah.
You know, Laconia is that other one that we've considered chopping it off of the schedule because now it's an island up there in the Northeast. When we used to do the full circuit back in the day, as we were doing 20 to 22 rallies a year, we would literally go from Myrtle Beach straight to Ohio Bike Week and then straight to Americade and then straight to Laconia and then straight to Johnstown afterwards. And at that point, we were considering doing like Gettysburg or so on and so forth, or even Erie, Pennsylvania. But then all those other rallies just kind of went to crap for us. And so now we only do Laconia. And Laconia is hard to make profit on now because we got to go so far for just the one show.
Yeah, that's true.
So I get 2 days of driving to get there in a big rig that, you know, only gets 6 miles of the gallon. So, you know, I'm spending, you know, $1,500, $2,000 in fuel round trip.
Right.
2 years ago, remember, fuel prices were way high. It was like $7 a gallon. I think I paid like $3,600 round trip for fuel and rig to get there and back.
Holy crap.
Plus, I've got to pay my rent.
Yeah.
And I still got to try to make some money while I'm there.
Wow.
You know, last year was the 100th anniversary. And I promised myself when we started doing Laconia back on the 91st that I want to see the 100th.
Yeah.
And we did that. But we did really well last year.
Yeah.
Was it because it was the 100th or because our business has been growing like it's been growing everywhere else?
Right.
So I am going to give it another try this year. And if it flopped, it's probably going to get cut.
Right.
If it does great, then I'll keep going. Go ahead.
But you always do well at Sturgis and Daytona, right?
Yeah, I'll never get rid of those. Those are my bread and butter.
Yeah. Wow.
Those two make it worth it. If I could get two more of those, I would just do the 4 rallies a year and be done with it.
Yeah. Do you, speaking of the location that you do in Sturgis at Black Hills Harley-Davidson, are you happy with that location or would you rather move closer to Sturgis or like the Buffalo Chip or something like that?
No, for us, we're really happy in that location.
Yeah.
The rent is a lot better. The hours are better. Even the legalities are better. The permitting process in Rapid City is completely different than it is downtown Sturgis.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah. They're really strict downtown Sturgis. Literally twice a week, people walk by with law enforcement. They put their hand out. They want you to pay right then and there for the sales tax. Where in Rapid, when the show's done, I walk into the office. I show them my sales sheet. I write them a check. And then I leave town. Very nice people to deal with. It just, you don't have all the people revving the motorcycles all night long while you're trying to sleep. We sleep in a rig. Truth is, my sales might be better downtown, but I don't think I'd make more money.
Right. I
think the top number would be bigger, but the bottom number would end up being a lot worse.
I get it. I totally get it. So how can people learn more about AMSOIL, extreme bikes, and all that?
Well, so we've got a website. It's extremebikes.com. There is a dash between the X and the T, and there's no E in the beginning. So I know it's a little bit confusing. So X-TREMEBIKES. You can go there. You can look at the Love Jugs products. You can click the AMSOIL links, and it will port you directly into an AMSOIL-hosted website. Right. That's through my page, so we still get credit for anything you would buy there, but it's actually AMSOIL's website. Anything you purchase at that point, AMSOIL is taking your money, AMSOIL shipping your product. I just get credit for it. And then, brain fart.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I totally would, Blake, right there.
That's all right. Let me ask you this. When did you guys take over Love Jugs?
So I didn't technically take over Love Jugs. So I don't own it. I became very good friends with the owner of Love Jugs after we became a dealer for them. So that was back in 2015 during the surge of 75th. It was my first time ever selling Love Jugs. And the owner of the company came out to meet us. I bought a bunch of them at wholesale, basically just so I could mark them up a little bit, sell them at retail, do the installs, and make money just like any other product. Yeah. When the owner came out to meet us, we kind of fell in love with the guy. I know that sounds weird, but he just had that familiarity that my wife and I were really comfortable with. He actually reminded me of my stepfather who had passed away a few years before, who was a great man. There were just so many similarities there that we became really good friends. And Mr. Sandell, he was a retired engineer. So he started Love Jugs in retirement just because he was bored and he had a problem with his Harley overheating. So he wanted to fix it. He didn't know Harleys. He's not a Harley mechanic. He built cranes for a living. And so once we kind of became friends, there were times like he would just call me up and ask me questions. Hey, on this bike, if I did this or this, would it still work type thing, you know? And if I didn't know the answer, I'd go out and take measurements or something because I've got bikes up and down off my lift all day long.
So
he just started kind of using me as a kind of a sounding board for things he wanted to do because he knew that I knew the motorcycles better than he did.
And
that relationship just took off. And we did really, really well. And then, unfortunately, a few years ago, Mr. Sandell passed away. Cancer got him. And his daughter is now running the company. She knows nothing about motorcycles or engineering. So, but it was her father's dream for his grandchildren to have this company someday. So we're keeping it alive, and we're actually thriving right now. I mean, Love Jugs is a very popular item. I think some of that is hopefully partially to my marketing efforts that I've put through to it. I am not officially an employee of Love Jugs, but we handle a lot for her. She does help sponsor us at the rallies. And in trade for that, I handle a lot of things for her. I handle all the tech questions, all the warranty questions. Like if you go to if you go to Love Jug's website and you email the tech department, the email comes straight to me.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah, I'm working on new designs. We are also the warehouse. The North Carolina warehouse is my house. So we do all the shipping. When JP Spikles orders 200 units, my daughter and I go out there, we pack up 200 units, and we send them to JP Cycles.
Oh, wow.
And then a couple of days later, Dennis Kirk will order 200 units, and then we pack them up, send them out to JP Cycles, or Dennis Kirk. So, as well as all the other dealerships, plus all the online sales, plus my own sales. So, we're doing a lot for her to keep everything going because we really believe in the product, we believe in the whole premise, and like that, I loved her father, and I'll do anything to keep his dream alive.
Wow. I hope you're paying your daughter well. I hope you're paying your daughter well.
Michelle pays her. I don't actually have to pay her. So, like, I'm not even on payroll. I'm the only one that doesn't get paid. I do it because I really believe in the product.
Oh, yeah.
I make money selling the product.
No, wow,
but
good.
I am not on Love Jugs payroll. Oh, everything I do for Love Jugs is because I really care for Michelle and her father.
Wow. I do have Love Jugs on my Heritage.
And awesome.
I love them. It does wonders for the bike. And now that I'm using AMSOIL, it's even better. So.
Yeah, the two work so well together.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of started the whole relationship between the two of them. In fact, back in the early days of the relationship, I got AMSOIL to actually take a set of Love Jugs in. They put them on their Harley that was in their dyno cell on the dyno, and they ran a whole series of tests for us. Even though AMSOIL will not publicly back Love Jugs because they don't work with third-party companies, plain and simple. That's just their rule.
Yeah.
They will tell you they're amazing, and they allow us to use all the test data that they determined. And but they won't publicly say AMSOIL recommends them. But when I talk to the engineers, they're like, if you own a Harley, you don't have these, you're an idiot. You know, I mean, that with their testing,
okay,
they'll tell me that, but they can't say that publicly, right?
Ah, okay.
But it's amazing. So they put a set of Love Jugs, the Coolmaster. I believe it was a 2012 Dyna or something like that. So it was a late model twin cam. And through their whole series of tests, keep in mind, they've got to make everything repeatable. It's not like, oh, they tried it one time.
Yeah.
They run a series of tests without the Love Jugs and a whole series of tests with the Love Jugs, and they find their medians, and they say that the Love Jugs lowered the oil temperature 53.4 degrees.
Wow.
And what's amazing is there's all these oil coolers on the market that advertise that they can lower you 15 or 20 degrees and how amazing they are.
Wow.
But if you stop the whole engine from getting hot, the oil doesn't even have to work as hard.
Yeah. You know, I do notice one thing about my Love Jugs. Well, I'll tell you about that later. It's really interesting. But any last words for those who are considering a change in oil brands and types of oil?
The biggest recommendation I can say is to do your research. You know, don't just believe everything I say. Don't believe what the internet says. Do your own research and forget what people's opinions are. Look at test data because the testing doesn't lie. Just because a guy says, oh, I've been using Castrol for 20 years and I love it, it doesn't mean Castrol's better. It just means he loves it because he's been using it for 20 years. He's never tried anything else, maybe.
Makes sense.
And that to get over the hiccup of not wanting to pay a dollar or two more a quart, spend a little extra money to get that reassurance.
Yeah. No, I totally
and I'm not
agree.
Saying that your engine's going to automatically fail if you don't use AMSOIL.
Right.
Obviously, thousands of engines don't. But you're hedging your bet. You know what I mean? You're giving it the opportunity to seriously decrease the chances of an oil-based failure. And what I tell a lot of people is, you know, everybody, I meet people who go, I've been smoking for 50 years and I've never got cancer. Okay, well, you're lucky. But we all know that smoking can cause cancer and emphysema. You're not guaranteed to get it, but you're likely to get it if you do that. So I kind of compare that with AMSOIL. Is it no? You're not guaranteed to have a failure by not using it, but you're seriously reducing your chances of it.
Right. All right. Very good. All right, Adam. Listen, I want to thank you very much for being on a podcast. You've been a wealth of information, and anybody who does not use AMSOIL in their bike, they're an idiot.
I wouldn't go that far, okay. but I would really encourage people to start making smarter choices.
There you go. About making smarter choices. And again, thank you very much for being on the show. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you when we're done. But we'll see you at. I'll see you in Myrtle Beach. You're not going to be there, or you're going to be there.
I am going to be in Myrtle Beach. We'll be at the car wash across the street from the Beaver Bar.
Car wash across.
Which is technically Merle's Inlet.
Oh, you're down in Merle's Inlet. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, I'll be down there. I'll come and see you.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you very much, Adam. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Motorcycle Man Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Belief Cancer Foundation. If you would like to help and be a part of something that actually makes a difference, donate today to David's Dream and Belief Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelief.org to donate. Links will also be in the show notes. And, of course, the Gold Star Ride Foundation. Now, they're helping families of fallen soldiers and making a difference in the lives of those left behind. Now, if you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. And we're helping long-haul Paul Pelin complete his mission to ride 1 million miles for MS. Now, he was told years ago that a cure for MS was 1 million miles away. So he decided to ride that 1 million miles for that cure. Now, you can help him by going to longhaulpaul.com and donate to his quest for that cure for MS. And the Motorcycle Relief Project is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides relief to veterans and first responders with PTSD and other related issues by taking them on structured week-long adventure motorcycle relief rides. Go to motorelief.org to donate and get more information. Thank you for joining me and Adam here in the V-Twin Cafe, where he told us all about AMSOIL oils and lubricants and all their products and Love Jugs and extreme bikes. To learn more, you can get on over to AMSOIL.com for more information. Of course, there'll be links on the show notes and the Motorcycle Men website at www.motomenpc.com. And don't forget to get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel and, of course, the Motorcycle Men YouTube channel. We have a lot of videos over there you can watch. And if you would please also like and subscribe, that would be a tremendous help to the channels. And I'm telling you, it also helps the podcast. Well, that's it, boys and girls, for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team. Thank you for listening. And remember, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. I'd say for kids.